Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Grace Athena High School in Rochester, New York, has a new, most unlikely hero, a special ed student by the name of Jason McElwain.
Let's keep it going.
Jason is the basketball team manager. For the past couple years, he's been assisting coach Jim Johnson, helping with whatever the team needs.
And go!
Get him motivated and hand out water and just be enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic, to say the least. Despite being born with autism, Jason's father says his son has never had a problem expressing himself at basketball games.
You know, I was always concerned that he might get a technical and they lose a game because he, you know, start yelling or whatever.
Let's have a hard practice tomorrow, all hour and a half, and let's get ready for Arcadia. Okay. Let's go.
One, two, three, two.
Because he has been so devoted to the team, for the last game of the season, Coach Johnson decided to let Jason actually suit up. Not to play necessarily, just to let him feel what it's like to wear a jersey. At least that was the plan. But with 4 minutes to go in last week's game, Coach Johnson stood up and pointed to number 52, Jason McElwain. After years of fetching water and toweling off other people's sweat, Jason was actually in a game. His first shot was a 20-footer from the right baseline.
Was it close? Did you almost make it?
I just airballed it.
I'm like, just, dear God, please, let's just get him a basket.
His second shot missed too, but the third was a charm. A three-point no-doubter. And Jason wasn't done yet. Not by a long shot.
If I wasn't there to witness it, I wouldn't have believed it, you know?
You caught fire.
I just caught fire. I was hot as a pistol.
Jason ended up shooting 6 three-pointers. One right after the other. He had 20 points total, and each time a shot went in, his teammates and the crowd went a little crazier. His last basket, right at the buzzer, created total mayhem. Because he is autistic, Jason says he's used to feeling different, but never this different. Never this wonderful. Steve Hartman, CBS News.
Awesome. How good was that? Let's give it up for Jason. He's going to make the pros with that. But you know what? One point I really want to make is that the coach said we gave him a jersey so he could feel like what it was like to be a part of the team. We gave him a jersey so he would know what it feels like to be part of a team. And you know what? We've been in the middle of this series called Purpose. We've had 3 weeks. This is the fourth and final week. But what I want to tell you is that there's so much purpose coming from being part of something bigger than yourself. Yeah. See, the truth is God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for you. He's gifted you. He's talented you. But so much purpose comes from being part of something bigger than yourself. I'm finding in our heart, in a human's heart nowadays, there's something inside us that wants to live bigger than ourselves. Wants to be a part of something that's bigger than just our life and our world. And I love the fact that Jason got a chance to be a part of that. And we've been talking about your purpose and what God has for you. But I want to talk today about the chance you have to be a part of the bigger picture, be a part of something bigger than just your own life and how it can bring so much purpose into your life. Amen?
Yeah, awesome.
Let me just talk about some gifts for a moment. Let me just talk about some gifts that God has given you, that you have, that actually aren't really for you at all. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Let's talk about a singer for a moment. Hands up if you've got any singers in the house. Come on, there's got to be a few more. Some singers in the house. Yeah, Paul Spiri, yep. Hand always goes up. But let's be honest, the gift of singing that you have isn't really for you, is it? Would you agree? Come on, I need your feedback here. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, you can sing in the shower, you can sing at home, you can record an album, but really the gift that is on your life is for other people. So you can inspire, so you can encourage, so people can listen to your music. That gift that God has given you is not just for you, but it's so you can be on the team and be a part of something bigger. Does that make sense? Let's go through it for you. What about the gift of teaching? Anybody a teacher? School, university, Bible teacher? God has given you that gift, not just for your life, but to be a part of the team. I mean, you can sit there at home teaching yourself, like just drawing on the chalkboard, and that was, yeah, well, I like that. I wrote that down. That was a good point. And I'm taking notes now. And we're going to test that. Like, yeah. You can learn. You can grow. But the gift of teaching on your life is so you can be a part of something bigger than just yourself. Is this making sense? We've got any parents out there? All right. There needs to be more. Are there any parents out there? The gift that God has on your life to raise children and be a parent is not for you. You would know it's a lot of work for your kids, and it's all about your kids. But God has gifted you to be a part of that bigger picture, to raise a family, to build something outside of yourself. I love this gift. Good looks. Anybody in this place have that gift? Come on, don't be modest. Be brave. God has gifted you with some good looks. James Vella has got his hand right up. But once you look in the mirror of a morning, you might see yourself in your rearview mirror and there, but your good looks are for other people to look at you and be inspired and be motivated. They're for your loved one. They're for your spouse. That is gift that God has given you isn't for you. What about making money? Some of you guys are making great money. You're in business. You're achieving great things. And that's amazing for you. But I would tell you that God has not given you that gift just for yourself. God has given you that gift to help other people, to be a part of the bigger picture, to be involved in something larger than just your life. You know, I love a guy in our church. His name is Zachary Pantic. Does anybody love Zach? One of his gifts is just being the funniest bloke ever. Anybody got that gift? Yeah, you think you do, but you don't really. And so Zach, that's one of his gifts. You just have a conversation with him and you're laughing. You'd be talking about the most serious topic of all time, but you're just laughing. Somehow it's gone somewhere and you're all in hysterics. But you see, Zach knew he had that gift and he started to use it to help out the bigger picture, to be a part of something bigger than his life. 2 years ago at our Christmas service, we had our kids' concert and Zach dressed up in an elf costume. He dressed up in an elf costume. Not only that, he got into a box. So we had 500 people in the auditorium. Zach was in the elf costume in a box. Why? Because the gift that God had given him wasn't just for him. It was for the bigger picture. It was so he could be a part of something, find purpose in being a part of something bigger than himself. And so Zach was like, yeah, I'll do that, no worries, that's part of my gift. And so he got out of the box, he started to talk, started to dance, started to sing, and everybody loved it, everybody had a laugh. People were like, church is cool, kids were falling in love with church and what God was doing. But it was a powerful moment, because whatever the gift Zach had, whatever purpose he had in his life, he brought it to the table, and God did something bigger with it, amen? God has gifted you, he has planned you, and he has purposed you to serve others, amen? Let me read this verse to you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. If you're taking notes, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says this: each of you should use whatever gift that he or she has received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. In other words, God has given you a gift to serve others. I might have touched on your gift, a singer or a teacher, but there are other gifts that God has given us, not just for ourselves, but to serve others. To bring others closer to God, to help other people in your workplace. All these things God has given us aren't just for ourselves, they're for other people. Yeah. Let me read this verse to you, Matthew chapter 10, verse 45. It's talking about Jesus. It says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In other words, Jesus Christ came to earth from heaven, became a man, not for himself. We've been talking about purpose. God, what's the plan and the purpose for my life? Jesus really, he knew what his purpose was, but it wasn't for him. It wasn't to live to 100. It wasn't just building a great business, having a career, doing this, doing that. His purpose was to come for other people, to die on a cross, to lay down his life so that other people could be set free. I think if we're here, yeah, come on, give him a shout of praise. All glory to him. You know, one of the last things Jesus did, this is our leader, this is our example. This was his purpose. The Bible says that Jesus' hour was coming. In other words, he was about to go to the cross and die. And what was one of the last things he did? He knelt down and he just washed his disciples' feet. If anyone has a plan and a purpose in life, it was Jesus. He had so many gifts, so many talents. He could have been doing anything with his whole life. But he knew that, hey, I need to be part of something bigger. My plan, my purpose, my gifts are not for me. It's for other people. And you know what he did? He did lay down his life. He died on the cross. He rose again so you and I could find him. So you and I could find a hope in Jesus. And if we're going to follow anybody today, it's him. And so right now what I'm saying, God, the gifts you have given me, God, the things you have put inside my life, God, this purpose series is all about knowing, hey, God, I'm going to serve others. Hey, God, I'm going to help others. Imagine a world where people use their gifts and talents to serve others and help others. It would be incredible. It would be an amazing world we live in. And you know what? That happens so often and so much. But I want to encourage us here today. God has a plan and a purpose to be a part of something bigger. You know what purpose comes from? A common goal, a common vision, and common unity. You might be thinking, God, what's the plan for my life? But when you get in line with other people that have their dreams and their talents and their gifts, and you come together with a common goal, united with one thing, so much purpose and meaning will come from your life. I guarantee you, so much purpose and meaning will come from your life. You know what? I didn't always know that this was the plan of God for my life to be a pastor in a church and to preach. I didn't know that from the start. I had to kind of figure that out, and God took me on a journey. But I'll tell you what I did. I just started serving somewhere. I just started helping out. I didn't have it all figured out. God, the plan and the purpose for my life is to preach and to be a... I didn't know what God had for me, but I just started serving and serving and helping others. And I'm no superhero. There's so many people in this room that are doing that. But before I got up on this stage and even knew this is what God had called to me, I just started mopping stages. Going back maybe 10 years ago, the stages needed to be mopped. Just start mopping it. And then Pastor Richard would get up and start preaching. And people would be crying and lives would be changing and people would be giving their hearts to Jesus and depression would be breaking off lives. But I knew because I mopped that stage, I was a part of that. Is that making sense to anybody? Yes, give God some praise. Hey, the smallest things, vacuuming the floor. I mean, I was on the host team. I've been a part of the lighting team. Do we got the lighting team up the back there? Young Daniel Garisto on the lighting team. Let's give him some love. You know what? He's just doing what he can to be a part of something bigger than himself. He's chucking on a jersey and being part of the team. You know what the funny thing is? Daniel's in fact colorblind. Don't feel sorry for him, laugh. He is colorblind. So this guy's on the lighting team just doing what he can to help out. He doesn't even know what color he's got on the stage right now. But he's just having a go using his gifts, his talents, whatever he can to be a part of the bigger picture. There we go. He probably thinks that's pink or purple or something. He's got no idea. But a young man's just doing what he can to get involved, to help in the bigger picture. And I'm believing through the grace of God, lives are going to change and Daniel's going to get some credit from God. And Daniel's going to find purpose. He's going to find meaning to his life, his existence, because of what he has done. You know what? We can just think that, hey, I'm going to figure out my purpose. And we can just sit in a room and pray and meditate and just waiting on God, hearing from God. Just like waiting for an angel to just drop. Like, yep, God's going to speak to me any moment now. But I tell you what, when we start to serve others and help other people fulfill their purpose and help to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, that is when your purpose, that is when you'll find out what your purpose is more than ever. Again, I didn't know I was going to be preaching one day, but I just joined on the youth team. I just joined a team called the youth team where we help teenagers not take drugs, not drink alcohol, but actually have purpose in their life. And again, I just started doing out whatever I could and helping others and getting the water for the preacher. And again, no, I'm no hero. I was just excited because God had done this for me. I wanted to do for other people. But as I was involved, as I was a part of something bigger than myself, God sowed seeds into my heart. God began to speak to me in these environments. God began to show me. God began to shape me. So you're probably wondering, God, what's the purpose for my life? Honestly, just get involved. Be a part of something bigger than yourself. Focus on helping other people reach their purpose, and then God will reveal your purpose to you. Does that make sense? Yeah. Awesome. I want to read this scripture to you. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says this. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members." You see, but all those members of that one body, being many, are just one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, Australian, Canadian, French or German, whether slave or free, have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Let me keep reading for a moment. "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling?" Are you guys picking up something here? "But now," verse 18 says, "God has set the members." In other words, God has gifted you and I, each and every single one of us, in the body just as he pleased. "And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members of one body." How powerful is that? In other words, there are so many people that are a part of the family of God, a part of this church, a part of what God's doing here. But the crazy thing is that we're just one body. We're united with a common vision, a common goal. And so what we do is we all bring our gifts and our talents to God. And we say, "God, this is what I can bring. God, I want to be a part of something bigger than just my life. I want to be a part of your life. God, I want to be a part of your body, the body of Jesus." I'm not talking literal body here, but we all bring our gifts and talents and we make up this thing called church. Church isn't a building. Church isn't even a place. It's you and I coming together. We could do church in a field of grass. We could do church in a stadium. Our East Campus is doing church in a pub right now. Dead set, they've transformed a pub. But being a part of the body of Christ is everybody just saying, "Hey, I'm going to bring what God has gifted me with to the table. And I want to be a part of something bigger than just myself, hoping I'm going to find my plan and my purpose, but knowing God has a plan and God has a purpose." Is that making sense? And so it goes into talk about an eye coming to the party, and then the ears coming to the party, and then the limb coming to the party, and the eyeball not saying, "Oh, I'm just an eye. I'm not going to make much difference." Yeah, you are. You are going to make a lot of difference, because without the eyes, the body can't function fully. And so without your gifts and without your talents, the body of Christ is going to be lacking. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? You're like, "Whoa, I didn't think I was that special. I didn't think that I was that important. Or maybe there are so many people around. Surely I'm not really needed to be a part of this thing called the body of Christ." But I tell you what, you are. And God has given you gifts. He's given you unique talents that nobody else has. And I tell you what, there's so much purpose when you come to the party and be a part of something bigger than just yourself. Amen? Amen. We're going to have a bit of fun. I'm going to get the body of Christ up here. Anyone up for that? I'm going to get the body of Christ up here. I'm going to get a few people and we're going to illustrate exactly what the body looks like. So first one is, I need someone up here who's got great eyesight. Come on, hands up if you've got great eyesight. Come on, I need one person to get up here on the, don't worry, I'm not going to make you speak. Come on, who's got good eyesight? Get up here. One person, let's go. Jordan, get up here. My man, give it up for freshman. Come on, make some noise, guys. Yeah. All right, I think you dropped your glasses. Are yours? Blind eyes are opening. Jesus. Come on, I need somebody up here who can sing. You're a part of the body. Who can sing? Come on, let's go. You're going shy on me. Come on, get up here. Let's go. Yep, come on, give us some love. Give Kylie some love. Have we got any cooks? Anybody that can cook? Man, we need some chefs up here. Or some mums or dads that can cook. Come on, somebody. Don't leave me hanging. We're the body of Christ. Yeah, get up here, Mannings. You see, everybody has a unique gift and talent that the body of Christ needs. What's their next one? Ooh. 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 I need somebody up here who's got some biceps. Preferably in a tank top. Come on, anybody got some biceps in this place? Robbie Tatulia. Get up here, bro. Here's part of the body. Man, this is what the body's starting to look like. Come on, bro, run. Like, it's not like we're on the clock or anything. Let's go. Just taking his time, like walking down the aisle. I'm cool, bro. Come on, over this side, bro. Start to spread out a little bit. What else we got? We need some runners. We need some feet. The body of Christ needs some feet. Have we got anybody who can run long distance or quick? Yes. Sprinter. Awesome. Cool. We need an artist. Somebody who makes jewelry or paints or is gifted in the art world. Yeah, come on up here. Yeah, come on, make some noise. Tanya, purple hair, love it. Awesome. And you know what? I need someone with some good looks to get up here. Who's got some good, we need some good looking, I mean, we're all good looking, but I need some good looking people. Come on, just one person. Come on, we're building the body of Christ here right now. We're all a part of this, nobody. Such a modest church. It's me. Thank you so much. You're so kind. All right, last one. Someone who's got an amazing, gorgeous smile. Who can light up the world with their smile? Get up here. Come on, there's got to be somebody. 9:30 service was up here in a heartbeat. We had people fighting to get up on this stage. Come on, let's go. Don't make me call you out. I'll find somebody. Kim, let's go. Get up here, Kim Cecil. Make some noise, guys. Come on. Run, 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 run. And so now you guys know what the body of Christ looks like. We got cooks, we got smiles, we got biceps, we got everything up here. But I tell you what, everyone looks different. Everyone brings something different to the table. Everybody's got a unique gift and a unique, they're getting ready. They're like, am I about to have to do something here? Should I like, am I going to have to sing or something? But this is what it looks like. Everybody brings something unique to the table, but I tell you what, it builds one body. One body, one common goal, one common vision. So this guy over here, he has a plan and a purpose for his life. And so does this guy, so does Kylie, and so does Tanya. And each of these people have a plan and a purpose for their life. But you see, God has a plan and a purpose for his life. And his purpose involves your purpose. So without your purpose, he can't achieve his purpose. And you'll never be a part of the body of Christ. So look at these people. These are the brave ones that will get up here. But this is what it looks like. Different heights, different skin color, different gifts and talents. But I tell you, everybody's coming to the party. Everybody is being a part of something bigger than just themselves. And I tell you what, God can do anything he wants when that happens. Amen? Yeah. Come on, let's give these guys some love. You guys can head back to your seat. Thank you so much. It's powerful stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not just created for my small little life. I'm created for something big. I'm created for something great. God has such a destiny for you and I. You know, I play a bit of footy and there is so much camaraderie and unity and a common goal when we play footy. In the change rooms and everyone's together, everyone's pumped up, everyone knows what they need to do, everyone knows what the goal is, everybody's ready to come to the party and just do what they can. Some people kick the goals, some people lay the tackles, everybody's got a different role, but everybody comes to be a part of that team. Yeah. And what is it all for? It's to kick a ball through two big sticks. Yeah. I mean, I love football. But honestly, what is the purpose of playing football? Yeah, we get exercise and yeah, recreation's great. But at the end of the day, all these guys, and now obviously girls are playing footy as well, are coming together on a team, a part of something bigger than themselves, achieving something. How much more so the house of God? How much more so the body of Christ? I mean, let me break it down even a little bit further, man. People are coming into this house and finding freedom. Freedom from addiction, Freedom from darkness. Freedom from financial pressures. Freedom, freedom, freedom. People's lives are being changed. God is doing so many great things. I think there's just a little bit more purpose than running out onto a footy field. And so our goal has to be just as united as that football team. Just as connected, just as focused on the vision and the goal and the purpose that God has for us. Because I'll tell you what we're a part of is incredible. What we get the opportunity and the chance to be a part of is life-changing. It's life-changing, I'll tell you that. Chance to be a part of the greatest thing on earth. You know, there are so many good things going out in this world, but I'll tell you what, the house of God, the body of Christ, what Jesus is doing, if we get to be a part of that, that is something so special to hold dear to our hearts. I don't know if anybody knows an Olympian named Sally Robbins, but she was a rower. And so the way rowing works is that there's eight people in the boat and everybody has to keep rowing together. Everybody has to pull their weight. Everybody has to chip in for them to get gold. And so a few years back, the Australian women's rowing team were going for gold. At least I hope they were going for gold. I don't know. When you go to the Olympics, I'm pretty sure you're going for gold, right? Unless they had low expectations. But they were going for gold. And these girls have been preparing 4 years. They've been building their muscles. They've been training, getting up at 5 a.m., getting on the Yarra River, all that kind of stuff, building towards this moment. Thing is with rowing, if one person stops rowing, they slow down so much. They've got the weight of that person in the boat without the muscle and the power taking them forward. And so unfortunately, it was a whole big saga, but she just ran out of energy for whatever reason, whether it was the pressure, but Sally stopped rowing. And so there's these seven other girls just rowing their heart out, and they've been dreaming about this, and they've been believing, they've been training, they've been working so hard. Yes, Sally stopped rowing. And what happened? These girls went on. I don't know where they finished, but they didn't place. They didn't get an Olympic medal. But I hope I'm painting a picture here, Phil, that we need you in the boat. We need you. Yeah, come on. We need your gifts. We need your talent. We need your strength to take this church, go even further, the kingdom of God, forward. You must say, I'm not that gifted. I'm not that talented. There's enough people around. We need you. Because right now, you're in the boat. You're a part of this church. You're a part of the body of Christ. So you need to help us. And this isn't like I'm putting pressure on you. This is you get the chance to be a part of this. A chance to chase that gold medal. A chance to be in the boat, taking us forward and roaming forward. At that time in that boat, those Olympians couldn't have any passengers. They needed everybody on the board bringing their gifts and their talents to achieve the goal. Amen? You know what? When you play basketball, it's 5v5 and then five people on the court versus another five people. And then there's people that sit on the sidelines called the substitutes. The subs. They're not playing right now. They're off to the side. And I would hate to have some people that are a part of our church acting like substitutes. Just sitting on the sidelines, not really getting involved. And again, that's not to guilt trip anybody, but that's just saying, hey, there's a chance to get on the court. Me growing up, I did not want to come to the bench. I was playing basketball and that game was going, that ball was bouncing, there was no way I was subbing off. I'm not coming to the bench. You'd hear the coach sub and the ref would go sub and I'd just look the other way. Like, you ever done that? I hope they don't hear me. Like, you just walk up the other end. It's like, yeah, they know you're coming off. You're coming off. But I just did not want to go to the sidelines at all. And honestly, in this faith journey, don't be sitting on the sidelines. Do not be sitting on the sidelines. See, basketball is just five on the court at one time. But the kingdom of God is everybody at all times doing what they can, build the house, take things forward. Come on, let's give God some praise. You might not be athletic, but I tell you what, you've got some gifts in your life that God is going to use, and you're going to figure out what your purpose is. Many hands make light work. Does that make sense? Yeah. Many hands make light work. Yeah. Got another one for you. Teamwork makes the dream work. Yeah. Write that down. Teamwork makes the dream work. God has a dream for this house, a dream for your life, but we've got to be a part of a team. We've got to get involved. We've got to make it happen. You'll often hear movie stars or pro athletes say this. They're doing charity work. They're going back into local high schools. They're working with kids that don't really have many opportunities. They say, hey, it's time for me to give back. I've been so blessed with my life and career, or I've been so blessed winning this championship and that championship, I thought it was time that I actually gave back. You ever heard people say that? And it's an awesome thing, and whether they do it because they have to, because they want to look good, or whether they actually have a heart to do it, it's so powerful. Because you see, without people doing this for me, in other words, without people building the church, turning on the lights, setting up the chairs, I myself would never be able to be here right now. Today, I would never have been able to be here. But even back when I first came to church, met Jesus for the first time, that would have never happened unless other people use their gifts and talents to build the church, to be a part of the body of the Christ. We're getting that. And so, save people, serve people. Does that make sense? God, you have saved me. God, you have blessed me. God, you've given me all these things. God, other people have worked hard to see my life go forward, but now it's my time to give back. I'm a pro athlete. I'm a famous actor. It's time for me to give back into what God is doing. And I'll tell you what, as a church, as a body, as a team, this year is going to be the most fruitful year of our lives. If we're working together, achieving our purpose, going forward. You know what the funny thing is? When we focus on other people, God just reveals our purpose to us like never before. If we're just serving others, the purpose and the plan of God just falls in line into our life like never before. And it's almost out of nowhere. It's like, that's what God wants me to do. Or that's where God has put me. Or the gifts and talents you didn't even know you have begin to unravel out of your life and your life just goes forward. Yeah, we're here to serve others, but God just brings it back into your life and helps you go forward. Amen? One of the greatest things I've been a part of was I got to lead a young adults boys life group. So if I can get the worship team up here, that'd be awesome. But we started a life group and we had 18, 19, 20-year-old, 21-year-old boys coming to this life group. And it got to like 20, 25, 30 people. We were in a Tim Garisto's bedroom / garage. So it was pretty hot and sweaty and it smelled so bad in there. Like, it was the worst smelling life group ever. But so much purpose came from it. Wow. So much purpose came from a group of guys just getting around each other, wanting to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Yeah. And you know what happened is that we're in this group, and one of the guys in that group, his little brother, actually got diagnosed with cancer. And so this guy came and said, hey guys, this is what's happened. Can you pray for my family? Wow. Talk about purpose. Yeah. You want to know why? What's a good reason to get up in the morning? Pray for someone else. Yeah. Pray God does a miracle. Pray God brings healing. And so we started praying, and there was a group of our guys, and we were all together, united, a part of this body, and we started praying. And then someone had this great idea, hey, why don't we actually fast and pray for this guy and believe that God will heal him? And so it was just young men, 18, 19 years old, 20 years old, we started to fast. In other words, we stopped eating food. We just ate fruit and veg. And we said, God, we're praying. God, we're believing. We believe that you can do a miracle. And so these young boys stopped eating Maccas, stopped eating meat, just fruit and veg. But I'll tell you what, it's one of the most powerful things I've been a part of. One of the most purpose-driven, one of the most meaningful, one of the most fruitful things I've ever had the privilege of being a part of. And so these young guys, we went on this 21-day fast where we didn't eat and we just prayed and we gathered once a week together, praying and believing for this young man. And I'll tell you what these young guys got out of it. They learned that their purpose wasn't just about them. That God hadn't put them on this earth just to focus on their own life. That they had gifts, that they had talents. Yeah, you've got a shout of praise. They got to be a part of something bigger that day, that month. Something so powerful. Something bigger than just themselves. And I tell you what, they'd never felt more purpose. They didn't think, oh, what am I going to do today? Or why should I even get out of bed? There's not really much to do. I don't have much purpose. They didn't feel lost. They didn't feel out of place. They had a purpose. They had a plan. They knew that God had a vision and a mission for that group. We knew we had something to do. And you know what? I praise God for that. That young man's here today with us. He's in this church. He's loving life. Believing that he's cancer-free, which is so powerful. But I'll tell you what, these young guys, so proud of them. They just said, God, I want to be a part of the body of Christ. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. One of the most powerful things I've ever been a part of. And you know what? The vision for this church, the vision that God has, that God has given our senior pastors, is enormous. You want to know how big it is? 4.7 million people in Melbourne. God has put us in Melbourne. God has put you in this church, in this city, to save a city. To see a city come to know God. To see a city find freedom. To see hearts come back to Jesus. And I tell you what, I can't do it on my own. Our senior pastors can't do it on their own. You might think I'll just leave it for the guys that are gifted at singing or gifted at speaking or gifted in certain areas. I'll tell you what, right now, the body of Christ to fulfill what God has for us needs everybody. Needs absolutely everybody. It needs your gift. It needs your talent. It needs your unique skill. You might say, I don't even know what my skills are. I don't even know what my talents are. Just get involved. Do something. Sweep the floor. Vacuum the carpet. God will use you. I promise you that. You feel alive. You feel so purpose-driven. It'll be powerful. You know what? I want to pray. Because you might be here for the first time and you're just thinking, yeah, I want to be a part of this. I'm feeling what you're saying, but I just don't know how to. Or maybe you come to church and you don't even really know about Jesus much. You don't know who God is. You don't know even why you're here on this earth. I would love to pray with you. Can we do that? So come on, why don't we just close our eyes all across this place? And if you're here, you've never really said, yeah, God, come into my life. Jesus, come into my heart. If that's you, you are in the right place. God has you here for a reason. You did not walk in here by accident at all. You were meant to hear this message. So right now, just while every eye is closed, just so you and God have got some privacy, if that's you in a moment, I just want you to raise your hand. All you're saying is, God, I want to be a part of your family. God, I want to be involved in what you're doing. God, I want to find out what my plan and my purpose is, but I need you in my life. The truth is that God created you. He's the builder of your life. He's got the plans. He's got the blueprints. He's got the drawings. He knows exactly what you're made of, where you're going to go, and he wants to help you get there. Amen.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki, and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.